You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
It's Wednesday over here, which means that we just have 3 days left until the Denver Broncos and the Minnesota Vikings kick off preseason action at Broncos Stadium in Mile High. Kickoff is set for 7 o'clock p.m. following an immediate post-game report over here at Locked On Broncos. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the show. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, columnist at Predominantly Orange and NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
I am Cameron Parker. You guys can follow me over at Cameron Parker PO. I too am a columnist over at Predominantly Orange, and it feels so good to be back to talk about this Denver Broncos depth chart, Cody.
Glad that you're feeling better, dude. You know, obviously sometimes life gets in the way, and I apologize to all listeners right now if my voice is a little different. I'm not sounding like Adam Schefter today. You know, coaching high school football, I lose my voice about day three of camp, so we're bringing it. You know, I'm still here. We got things going. We brought the heat yesterday with our Hot Take Tuesday segment, which I hope you guys will bring with you next week. We're going to be bringing our hot takes, and you, the fans, as well. We're going to ask you to send in your hot takes. We'll read them off on Tuesday, break it down. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed some of the predictions. Case Keenum throwing 3,700 yards, 35 touchdowns. That's one of the hot takes. Brandon McManus kicking an NFL record long field goal. That's one of the records that we predicted as well yesterday on Locked On Broncos. If you didn't get a chance to hear that episode of the show, I highly encourage you to go back. I'll be doing a Periscope at some point, probably tomorrow as well, on Thursday. But yeah, you know, it's all about breaking down today. The Broncos depth chart was released yesterday. We're going to talk about it today. We're going to look at, in our first segment, talking about the offensive depth chart, and we're going to analyze every key position where the Broncos players are at on the offensive side of the ball. In segment number two, we'll be analyzing the Denver Broncos defensive side of the ball, as well as looking at the return game for the Denver Broncos. And in our third and final segment of the show, we're going to be talking about some of the biggest surprises on the depth chart and some of the most evident disappointments on the depth chart where some players are at currently. Guys that we thought would be higher or compete, we're going to talk about them briefly there. But today's episode of the show is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Now, diving into the offensive depth chart, we're going to go through it and kind of read off some of the main things here. Obviously, I think we should go through the offensive line first. The offensive line, from our projections, has not changed from what we predicted in the offseason. Garrett Bowles at left tackle, Ron Leary at left guard, Matt Paradise at center, Connor McGovern at that right guard spot. He's earned it. He earned it, definitely, and now he's the starting guy there. And you have Jared Valdir at right tackle. And the surprise thing here from the tight end spot, Jeff Heuerman, who hasn't been practicing for the last week and a half. This was a surprising one to read, but I'll explain to you, and obviously we'll talk about it with Cameron here in just a minute, why I think he's still listed as number one on the depth chart. There's a reason behind the madness. Evidently, you know what, there's a big controversy at quarterback. Just kidding, not this year. Case Keenum is your quarterback. Thankfully, we don't have that dilemma anymore at that point. Hey, and good news for all the Janovich fans, he is listed as number one on the fullback depth chart. There's no competition there for him. He's got the spot locked up. I think he's got a roster spot as well. But wide receivers, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, obviously you're one and two, and behind them is Courtland Sutton, as behind Emmanuel Sanders, and Deshaun Hamilton behind Demaryius Thomas. So there's your four, pretty much your four rankings, your wide receivers there. And I think that's a reasonable accommodation. I think that's exactly how it should be. But Cameron, one of the surprises here is that Cray Cray, as Case Keenum likes to call him, River Craycraft, he is ahead of Isaiah McKenzie on the wide receiver depth chart, and Tim Patrick is behind Courtland Sutton as well. So for your six deep wide receiver projection, that's actually a pretty decent lineup. What are your thoughts on that? And obviously, especially with River Craycraft ahead of Isaiah McKenzie.
Well, and I mean, you know, for River Craycraft, you're looking at a guy that he's first in the building, he's first out, or he's first in the building, he's last to leave. I mean, he's an absolute gym rat. I mean, it's evidence in all the videos that get posted on Orange and Blue 760, or the tweets of you and I down at training camp, down at UC Health Training Center. He's there to make an impression, and he's made an impression early on in training camp to be that reliable wide receiver, a guy that, in all honesty, could could very well parallel a true slot receiver, a guy that, you know, if we look at those Washington State wide receivers or just those Washington State receivers that come from the Mike Leach system,
or
even just the Washington wide receivers in general. And people are going to think, well, am I just talking about Washington Huskies? No, there's a guy by the name of Cooper Kupp that came from Eastern Washington that didn't get a whole lot of pub initially and then started getting a lot of buzz around the draft time. And I'm not saying that Cooper Kupp and River Craycraft are going to be identical, but it bodes well for River Craycraft to already see signs with the first team and to already show that relationship potentially with Case Keenum. And when you already are generating that type of rapport early, it bodes pretty well. And in particular, when it's the first depth chart and you have guys like Tim Patrick and River Craycraft behind Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton, it actually is quite a statement from the front office and from the coaches that say these guys are proving themselves more so than the others.
Well, they're ready to play. And like you said, River Craycraft, I tell you what, he's the first guy out of practice every single day alongside Deshaun Hamilton. He's the last to leave. He obviously suffered a really scary knee injury last year, but he's back. He's ready to go. You know what? When I go through, and we also forgot to mention the running backs. Now, the running back depth chart, no surprise, Devontae Booker at there at number one right now in the first initial depth chart release. I think that's a given the fact that he's the most experienced. He's the veteran returning from last year. He's number one on the depth chart. Behind him, University of Oregon tailback Royce Freeman is your number two tailback at this point. And then D'Angelo Henderson at number three. And you know, to be honest with you, it's a tough competition in that room because all the guys, even David Williams, Phil Lindsay, those guys were getting reps with the ones throughout training camp. So when I look at this, I factor in pass protection. I factor in maybe catching the ball out of the backfield and maybe the most consistent running ability. Now, a lot of people are looking at this saying, well, Royce Freeman should be the starter week one. That could still be an opportunity. That could still be an option. But this is the preseason depth chart. Week one, obviously, these are some very revealing signs early on from camp. We can't overanalyze necessarily, but I think it's important to note that I think Devontae Booker has got this because he is the most experienced at this point. He's going to get some runs. Obviously, the offensive starters, you're going to see most of the Broncos' first unit. They're going to get about two series on Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, the offense will see them two series, and then the defense will see them two series. Then they'll be done. So in, out, you know, maybe getting a couple snaps under the belt. Hopefully guys can stay healthy. But it's going to be nice to kind of see that a little bit, getting off to a quick start against the Minnesota Vikings. But
I agree with you 100%, because if there's one position that, aside from tight end, I mean, there's only two positions really that are in biggest question mark, and that's the tight end position and running back position that could easily flux rather quickly on offense. And I mean, Royce Freeman, I mean, people want to be surprised at why wasn't Royce Freeman number one on the depth chart. And look, I posted the eye-popping video of John Elway talking at length that, you know, Devontae Booker was a potential third down back, and it came from a video from James Palmer. It was an eye-popping video, but at the end of the day, it's not a surprise that Devontae Booker is your number one back because, like you said, he's the veteran guy in that running stable. So it's not that big of a surprise. And then obviously Jeff Hireman, and same thing with Jake Butt. Jake Butt's recovering from an ACL injury. Obviously he's looked terrific in camp, but it's smart to still give the nod to Jeff Hireman despite the fact he hasn't practiced. You know, so it's not all that surprising, really. But but between those two positions, those are the two positions that could potentially fluctuate quite a bit.
Well, even at this point, too, Jake Butt, he's going to be limited in the Broncos' Week 1 preseason matchup against the Minnesota Vikings. They just want to be a little optimist for putting him in full game action right away. He's going to be limited. You know, Troy Fumagalli's batting a little bit of an injury. Austin Traylor, I was surprised to see him as number 3 on the depth chart because he's had a very good camp, in my opinion. I think he's had the most consistent camp from the tight end group of guys in terms of being that Swiss Army knife blocking and passing, obviously catching routes. But Jake Butt, they're going to be cautious with putting him in a live game action right away, you know, before he's ready. And I think that's a smart approach to do. Obviously, no question right now, Paxton Lynch, the backup quarterback, Chad Kelly, number 3. This is going to be a battle that plays out, I think, for the first couple of weeks of preseason action. Paxton Lynch is going to play probably a majority of the second quarter, third quarter. We'll probably see Chad Kelly in quarter number 4 this Saturday when the Broncos take on the the Vikings at Broncos Stadium in Mile High, 7 p.m. kickoff, NFL Network. Or you can catch it by going to the game by obviously using Vivid Seats, the sponsor of today's podcast. Now, Vivid Seats, they are an online event ticket marketplace that is absolutely dedicated to fans for live entertainment with the experiences that will last you and your family a lifetime. Vivid Seats offers great prices for NFL games and all live events. Now, with the NFL returning to preseason action, Locked On listeners can receive 10% off of their purchase from Vivid Seats. Now, you go to vividseats.com or you download the Vivid Seats app and you enter promo code Locked On. New customers, now the offer is good through the end of August, and all Vivid Seats are confirmed orders. They're backed by a 100% guaranteed or your money back. Now, this is a cool thing to obviously do with the Broncos and the Vikings kicking things off as well. The season is around the corner, so don't sit at home watching the Broncos at home when you can be at Broncos Stadium a Mile High in the crowd cheering in person. Thanks to Vivid Seats. They're offering Locked On Broncos listeners 10%, like I said, off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's Locked On. New customers only, and the offer is good through August. So preseason, regular season tickets are now available over there at VividSeats.com. The Broncos kick off their home preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings this Saturday. They kick it off September 9th against the Seattle Seahawks, the regular season, and you can be there for all of the excitement. Go to VividSeats.com or download the app, enter promo code Locked On for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get to the game. All right, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, there's not a lot of surprises, to be honest with you. There's really not a lot of surprises on the defensive depth chart that was released Tuesday to Broncos country. Let's go through a quick rundown there. Defensive line starting there first. Defensive end, obviously, you have Derek Wolfe at that position. Nose tackle, you have Domantas Peko in the Broncos 3-4 scheme. The other defensive end right now is slated as Adam Gotsis, and your Sam linebacker opposite of Von Miller is Bradley Chubb. No surprise. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but obviously, Von Miller on the weak side edge as your starting rush edge from the Will linebacker position in a 3-4 scheme. Inside backers, you have Todd Davis, Brandon Marshall. Cornerbacks, Bradley Roby, Chris Harris Jr., safety, strong safety of Darian Stewart, free safety of Justin Simmons. And to be honest with you, Cam, I don't think there's a lot of surprises necessarily here. Now, I think that maybe the one area that did surprise me a little bit was seeing Adam Gotsis as the starting defensive end, just because he hasn't been a guy that hasn't been talked about all camp necessarily, but he's had a very good camp. But he hasn't necessarily been talked about. I was almost figuring that we'd probably see maybe Clinton McDonald or DeMarcus Walker before him.
I'm with you, but you know, it's interesting because he's also a guy, if we do the tail of the tape to last year, he's a guy, and I was mentioning before, he's a guy that got his butt handed out to him verbally by Bill Collar to say that he needs to get his butt on the field and play at a higher level. And that was back before the 2017 season. And then when that happened, it's like he took his play and the motor to a completely, it was like a 180. He took it to another level. And so Adam Gotsis basically became, and that's why I've sort of coined the term for Adam Gotsis, a mini Derek Wolfe, because they are rather identical. I mean, they rush the passer exceptionally well. They do know how to stuff the run. They really do know how to clog up a lot of lanes considering the size that they both are. And so Gotsis really provided quite a spark for the Broncos defense, and in particular, a rush defense. You know, that's one of the unheralded parts was Adam Gotsis was one of the key cogs early on that helped stop a lot of the rushers under 100 yards. So in essence, it isn't all that big of a surprise. Now, what is refreshing is to see DeMarcus Walker on the defensive line and to see him back at his playing weight. I think he's put on the weight to back to, I believe it's 284 or 280, right around that playing weight that he did have at Florida State. But, you know, I wouldn't be too shocked still, you know, because the defensive line rotates, you know, play in, you know, multiple plays. So guys like Clinton McDonald could see a lot of action, you know, maybe even ahead of DeMarcus Walker a decent amount of times just because of the veteran presence that he has. And, you know, so there could be some decent depth, though, to, you know, for the Broncos still on that defensive line. And this just further proves it.
Well, you know, I think the defensive line depth is nice. The kind of surprise to me was looking at Clinton McDonald kind of being listed as that third third defensive end. He's battling a shoulder injury right now. Apparently, he's going to be good to go. He's day-to-day. That's great news, because there was a general worry at first starting today that he would be, you know, there might be an issue where he might have to miss a lot of time, unfortunately. So I'm glad that he's okay. I'm glad that he's going to be back in the mix. I expect him to play in a lot of rotational series. So we're going to see the Broncos defensive starters. We're going to see them for a couple of series. And then after that, we're going to see Zach Kerr, Shelby Harris, DeMarcus Walker, Shaq Barrett on the D-line. From the Sam position, Shaq Barrett. From the wheel position, you're going to have Shane Ray. Inside backer, we're going to see Zaire Anderson, no surprise. And then the outlaw, Josie Jewell, he'll be there as a number two inside backer as well on the set, probably the third series of the game. Jermaine Brock and Isaac Gadam will get the corner reps. We'll see Sua Cravens and Will Parks as well. Now, I don't know necessarily based if we'll see Jermaine Brock return to practice. It's unlikely, though, I think that he's going to play in this game. So we're going to see a lot of Isaac Gadam, Brendan Langley, and obviously Marcus Rios and Michael Hunter. We're going to see a lot of those guys get a lot of reps. I'm excited to see Jamal Carter, Demonte Thomas later on in the game, Trey Marshall at safety as well, and Jordan Moore at free safety, probably later on in the third and fourth quarter. We're going to see them. And in the return game, we have at kick returner, no surprise, I predicted it after the Broncos signed him. I said his best bet to make the team would be on this position. His kick returner, Philip Lindsay, he's going to be a guy that I think is going to earn his spot on the roster primarily as a kick return guy. I think it's his spot to lose. Cameron and I were talking about this before the show. I think it's his spot to lose because he's had a great camp. Now, if he comes out in preseason, if he struggles, if he fumbles the ball, then that would obviously drop him a little bit lower on that pole. But we haven't seen anything from that. He's got an elite level of focus at training camp doing these reps. If you go and you watch him during the special teams period, he's always tracking the football. He's not worried about the guys running down the field to try to hit him. He's tracking the football. Now, Isaiah McKenzie is the punt returner right now by default. He had a little bit of an arm injury today. I guess he's good to go. But this is going to be, this isn't something that's going to be handed to Isaiah McKenzie, because Philip Lindsay and guys like Deshaun Hamilton are right behind him. If he has a struggling preseason, if he has a hard time fielding punts, getting things going in the preseason at punt returner, the Denver Broncos, obviously, I think, could part ways with him because they have some other guys I think that could do a good job as well. So hopefully Isaiah McKenzie comes in, has good game reps. That's going to be the telling sign this, obviously, Saturday when the Broncos and the Vikings do battle at Broncos Stadium, Mile High. Hope you're there. If not, use the Vivid Seats to get a ticket, but I'll be watching it. We're going to have an immediate post-game show over here at Locked On Broncos following that as well, but you know, I think defensively, the Broncos have a lot of strengths. I think they have a lot of depth this year, which is nice to see. You know, we're going to see Jeff Holland probably late in the fourth quarter. You know, a lot of people, I think it's important to note right here, right now, that a lot of people look at the fourth quarter. They turn the TV off if they're watching it from home. They're like, oh, these guys are just going against four-string guys. These guys are all fighting for an NFL roster to make the final 53. It is important to tune into that. A lot of people are like, oh, I can't stand the preseason. Well, I guess it's a little different because a lot of people just like the regular season and the postseason. They like when those things come around, but they don't necessarily like everything that it takes to make team. But I do. I know Cameron does. Blue preseason is going to be huge. We're going to have the full game recap following the kickoff on Saturday when the Broncos and the Vikings do battle. Very excited about that. But obviously, and coming up here in just a moment, we're going to be talking about the surprises, some of the surprises of the depth chart from the offensive through the defensive positions. And we're going to talk about some of the disappointments, some guys that aren't even on there that, you know, we thought would be on there. We're going to talk about this in just a minute. But also, we'll be joined this week by Jason Reed, host of Locked On Vikings, for a crossover show. And you won't want to miss that. We're bringing it to you live here from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So obviously, Cameron, let's talk about some surprises, some disappointments. You know, give me a first offhand. I want to hear a guy that you're surprised about seeing on the depth chart, where he's at. And I want to hear about a guy from your choice that you're disappointed at from where he's at. Like, you figured he would be at a higher position on the depth chart.
Well, I think for starters, for me, I want to label it this way. My biggest overall takeaway, Cody, of the entire depth chart is where the 2018 NFL draft players are ranked in relation to this draft, or this depth chart, I should say. Because if you look at it, I mean, they are, for the most part, they are second team or better, which tells you a lot of things. It tells you sort of how bad the team really was last year, and that they really did need that immediate impact type players immediately. Now, as far as, you know, one player in particular, you know, that I can pinpoint offensively, it's tough because, you know, you can easily go to the Jeff Hierman as a potential surprise, that with Jake Butt, you know, making the waves and just impressing everybody, you know, down there in training camp and even since OTAs and minicamp, that you would think, okay, you know, Jake Butt, you know, he's going to take that role since Jeff Hierman hasn't really seen the field. So it, in some ways it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise. But the main guy for me that is the biggest surprise on offense is Cyrus Quandijo.
Cyrus Quandijo?
You know, yeah, Cyrus Quandijo. You know, you're looking at a guy that I don't really think people really realize just how talented of a guy, you know, Mount Quandijo is. I mean, because you're looking at a guy that he came in, I believe it was in a few games, and actually played exceptionally well for just his first game action. And for him to last year, and so for him to come in and already garner the attention from the staff and then already make him the backup to Garrett Bowles, sort of tells you where they feel that Cyrus is in his development to potentially even, you know, take Bowles, you know, in a pinch if something were to happen to Bowles. So, you know, Cyrus is sort of that guy. Now, obviously, the River Craycraft and amongst others is certainly one of the other takeaways. But my second guy on offense is Tim Patrick. Now, people aren't going to say that, why is it a surprise? Because you have been talking him up. But it's a surprise because, you know, we'll be talking as far as the players that should have been here. But Tim Patrick, you know, you're looking at a guy that he's made play after play after play, and he's a guy that is going to be that, or at least in a strong conversation to be that number six wide receiver. Because I think the one area that this is clearly emphasized is the Broncos are more than likely going to keep six wide receivers.
And that'll be interesting if they do, especially with the amount of depth that you have at tight end as well, and running back. You're going to have to let some of those positions go where you're initially top heavy. But some of my surprises, a guy that I'm surprised about, to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm necessarily surprised, but I like the fact, you know, we talked about River Craycraft. He's had a phenomenal camp. I'm surprised right now. I don't know if it's in a positive way or not, but I'm surprised that Jeff Hierman is still as the number one tight end right now. And I think there might be a theory to that. I think that Jeff Hierman could be an option that is utilized via trade. I think he could be traded. He could be a key piece that the Denver Broncos could trade at some point. He's listed number one on the depth chart, I think, to maybe increase his value a tiny bit to some teams that maybe need a guy like him. But ultimately, I think the Denver Broncos are focused in on Jake Butt and obviously the young guys, Austin Traylor and Troy Fumagalli. And it's going to be even eager to see how Matt Lacoste does. He's had a good camp as well. But a guy I'm really disappointed in necessarily, he's not even on the Broncos depth chart. That is Carlos Henderson. I'm disappointed in him because he is a guy that the Broncos drafted last year. Speedy guy out of La Tech. And tell you what, this guy had the opportunity to have some Tyreek Hill type of effect on the Denver Broncos offense, utilizing some jet sweep, some quick slants, obviously being a slot receiver for the Broncos, quick catch and run ability. He's not the guy that the Denver Broncos brought in. I think his NFL career is done, essentially, based on everything. Our man Sarah Bettinger got some inside intel that he was eating, you know, dinner with his girlfriend, I think, it was last weekend, rather than being at camp. So, you know, I think a lot of, and this is just my take, so take it with whatever you will, whoever's listening to the show. I think that Carlos Henderson is a guy who really couldn't handle competition. The Broncos, I think they put the writing on the wall. We need depth and we need talent at wide receiver. They didn't have it in 2017. Carlos Henderson was supposed to be a guy to add to that. However, he got injured. He had a rough training camp in 2017. He had an expectation to come in and try to compete for a job 2018. Now in OTAs, minicamp, Vance Joseph said, if he wants to make the team, he's got to find a way to get on the field. And I don't know if you guys got to see Jarvis Landry's big speech on Hard Knocks yesterday. He was in the wide receiver's room. I can't share it because there's too many F-bombs in it, but I love the message. He was talking about, unless your hamstring is falling off the bone, you need to get and you need to practice, period. He said, because it's soft. He said, you're soft if you don't practice. You know, if you're trying to make a team, you're sitting there not doing practice, you're not practicing, you're not competing, what are you doing? You're wasting everybody's time. I love the speech that he gave, and I think really, when Vance Joseph put, you know, Carlos Henderson on notice in the offseason, I don't think Carlos Henderson could handle it. He had a rough offseason. The arrest, the marijuana possession and consumption charge. You know, he's posting all his workouts on Instagram, Twitter. That's cool and all, but what are you doing football-wise? You're not around your football team. You're not doing any of the stuff. At that point, the writing's on the wall. You got some talent. The wide receiver position. You have guys like River Craycraft, Tim Patrick, John D'Arce. You have all these talented guys coming out of the woodwork. works. And I think Carlos Henderson is scared of competition. Ultimately, that's going to be his downfall. And I think that's exactly why I'm more disappointed in him, because he could have been a good football player, I believe. I believe with more time, more development, he could have been a good football player. But evidently, that is not the case. But we're running out of time here on Locked On Broncos. And I'd like to take all the time to thank you, the listeners, for listening to another episode of the show. Hopefully tomorrow my voice is back into action and we can get going. I apologize if that was an inconvenience for any of you guys listening. I'm sorry it couldn't be Adam Schefter today. But I want to thank you for listening to another episode of Locked On Broncos. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the show. Follow me on Twitter @CodyRourkeNFL. Follow Cameron @CameronParkerPO. And obviously the Locked On Broncos Twitter handle @LockedOnBroncos. We'll be back tomorrow. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Go Broncos.